You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Yeah, stand for this, man. It's going to bless you. Here it is, verse 45. That's all I need. At noon, darkness fell on the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which translated really means, you grew up on King James, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. That's what you grew up on. NLT, why have you abandoned me? 21st century remix, why have you rejected me? Daddy, Father, my God, why have you rejected me? John 11, just one verse to help me tag the text. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even when he dies. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Why have you rejected me, Daddy? Then Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I want to conclude this series today titled, I'm Feeling Some Kind of Way. Here's the final message in the series, From Rejection to Resurrection. From Rejection to Resurrection. You can go ahead and be seated in the house of God. I began this teaching literally a month ago titled, I'm Feeling Some Kind of Way. I've been telling you for the entire time that this series was birthed out of the agitation of the congregation. I kept going from campus to campus, talking to person after person, asking them how they were feeling. I kept hearing this reoccurring response, Pastor, pray for your girl. I'm feeling some kind of way. For the final time, I'll tell you that it was this fresh contemporary colloquialism that catapulted me cognitively, and I started tripping theologically, asking myself, what if I did a series where I lifted up biblical characters who were feeling some kind of way, trying to prove out this holy hypothesis that even though God is real, that doesn't mean that I don't feel. Are y'all feeling me? And so we began with a sassy sister from Samaria who was wounded at a well. When Jesus got through with her, you couldn't even tell. She went running into the city saying, come see a man that fixed me on the inside. Come see a man that told me everything about me. From there, we shifted to a melancholy brother named Moses who had a stick and a stutter, abandoned by his mother, but ended up being a leader like no other and didn't even have no cover. Lean on somebody, say, Annie freestyling. Tell somebody right quick. Say, Annie freestyling. You talk about why I love my church, Annie freestyling. I'm just tripping. But I'm serious when I tell you, Moses, think about it, had a rod. He couldn't speak well. What's that? A stick and a stutter. Abandoned by his mother. Didn't have any cover. Became a leader like no other. But he suffered from low self-esteem. God said to him, I'm going to use you to free my people. He said, I can't even talk. I'm not even leadership material. God says, you're absolutely right, but I'm going to be with you. And if I'm with you, I'll make up for all your deficiencies. There's more in you than you know about. God's about to give you something you're not qualified for. Somebody ought to receive that by faith. Not only did Moses suffer from low self-esteem, he also had a kind of anger condition. Moses killed a brother one time, buried him in the desert. That's straight up. God told him, the people thirsty, speak to the rock and water will come out of it. Moses, so mad about their attitude problems, brother got frustrated. He was feeling some kind of way. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And God said, I didn't tell you to hit it. I told you to speak to it. Therefore, you don't get a chance to go into the promised land. I'm going to let your assistant pastor, young Joshua, take him into the promised land. You're going to miss it because of your anger. Lean on somebody and say, don't let your incredible hawk tendencies disqualify you. Go ahead. Push somebody else and say, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Go ahead. Say, don't let the smooth taste fool you. I'll cut you. I'll cut you. I'll cut you. I'm saved, but I'll cut you. No, you won't. Because you're getting over your anger. And we talked about how some people have pushed the sister in the kitchen that he was married to. And she hit her head and died. He in jail the rest of his life. Or that anger came out on a child. Or it comes out on people. It's a trip. Sometimes the people close to us get the worst of us. The people closest to us get the worst of us. While people the furthest from us get the best of us. Okay, that's for free. And then last week, we shifted to this particular Davidic psalm. Your boy David at the campus is feeling depressed. You know, he's the cat that was a man after God's own heart, slew a giant with nothing but a rag and a rock, loved God so much that he worshiped until his clothes came off. But the brother like women, all brothers, straight up brothers like women, all straight up brothers like women, but he liked women a little too much so he found out that a sister was married, but he had so much power, he said, so what, bring her up to the palace anyway. Slept with that girl, she got pregnant. And because her husband wouldn't sleep with her because his boys was at war, and he said, if my boy's at war, I'm not sleeping with my wife. David ain't know what to do. David had the brother killed. So check this out. Here's a king, slept with a sister who's married to another brother, then had the brother killed and covered it up. Thank God it wasn't no social media then. Local pastor takes man's wife, has some cats from Kinsmen kill him, and has now moved her into his mansion. Yeah, think about that, but you still read the 23rd Psalm that David wrote. What I'm trying to tell you, the best of us have some worse than us. And as we sneak into the circumference of our text, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Am I going to take one? No, I'm not. Am I going to take one who is known for perfection and use him as a heuristic device for rejection? Am I going to take he who is known for perfection and use him as a heuristic, a model, that's all, a model for rejection? Yeah. Today's message is about Jesus and how even Jesus felt rejected. Ooh, this is going to be so good. I want you to look with me right quick. First of all, let's define it. What is rejection? Let's keep it real. We've dealt with anger. We've dealt with low self-esteem. We've dealt with depression, anxiety, as it were. Here's another emotive response or another emotion, rejection. What is it? Let's define it. It's right there on the screen. Here's the definition. The dismissing or refusing of a proposal, idea, etc. That's one. You know, you business people, you had a business proposal, you say it got rejected. We tried to get the house, but they rejected our offer. That's a real kind of rejection, but let's key in on the second one. The spurning of a person's affection. Some people are reluctant, here's an example, to try it because they fear rejection. Some people are reluctant to try it. Some people are reluctant to hook up with another brother right now because they fear rejection. So emotively, that's the one I want to deal with. The feeling of being rejected or neglected, or somebody you wanted didn't want you back, or somebody who birthed you didn't raise you, or somebody in whom which you wanted to be connected, but rather you felt rejected. I love you so much, I even went to the Urban Dictionary. Some of you heard of that? The Real Ghetto Dictionary? You know, in the Urban Dictionary, people can just put whatever they want to put. You can just, seriously, Urban Dictionary, you can literally just put your own definition. I looked up a bunch of them. A lot of them had cussing in them, so I stayed away from them. Here's one, he almost cussed, but he didn't. Here's what one brother says, something I've experienced my entire life and continue to experience until my late 20s today by women I've loved who want nothing to do with me for some reason. Those who have never experienced it cannot know the pain and emotional damage it causes. It makes you feel depressed, lonely, and like a worthless reject who would never amount to anything or find someone worthy to love or love you in return for who you are because you're not good enough. It's the worst and loneliest feeling a person could ever experience. So apparently Player got rejected by a woman. Or many women. That's his story. What's yours? His rejection stems from romance. Others, it's mama, it's daddy, it's a job, it's a church, it's something that made me feel rejected. This is a great class, by the way. Thank you for letting me be myself again. Peep this. Look at Matthew 26, verse 31, and let's look at it theologically. Then let's attempt to look at it psychologically. And if I do my job, maybe we can end sociologically. I know you can handle it. This is my smart class. On the way, Jesus told them, tonight, all of you going to desert me. Yeah, all of you are going to desert me. Peep this. Look right at me. Let me give you some quick context so you can respect the content. Jesus kicking it with the 12. You know the 12 guys. Some of them was thug life, tax collectors, fishermen. He raised them up and taught them how to be kingdom. He had kicked them with it for 3.5 years. He had kicked it with them for 3.5 years. They were his dudes, and they're at the Last Supper. They are situated geographically in the upper room. He's passing out the communion. You know that part. The bread and the wine, the Last Supper. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And in the middle of communion, he said, by the way, all of you going to desert me tonight. All of you going to desert me tonight. Is Jesus feeling some kind of way? He says, all of you going to reject me tonight. Peter jumped up and said, oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm not. You know Peter, the one that had a good heart, but had a tendency to put his foot right in his mouth. You need Peters around you. They crazy, but they real. Peter crazy. Peter meant well. Peter had a good heart. He just had bad flesh. He had a good heart. Sometimes his flesh wasn't as good as his heart, like most of us, but he had a good heart. He jumped up and looked at Jesus and said, don't you say that, man. I gave up everything for you, man. I'll never leave you. I don't know what these cats going to do, but I'm yours, brother. I'm with you. You changed my life. You changed my life. I ain't ever leaving you. Jesus said, Pete, you mean well, but tonight, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. No, I'm not. Tonight. This night, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter like, man, he's crazy, man. I'll kill somebody for him. That's my man, please. He don't know me. I don't leave nobody I'm with. And Peter went out there, got to walking, and then everybody started trying to find the disciples so they could kill him. They was looking for Jesus to kill him, and they was looking. The mob was out there. Literally, you saw the Passion of Christ. The mob was out there, and Peter warming himself as it were by the fire. And somebody said, is that one of them cats with Jesus? This one of them, are you one of his boys? He said, no, I don't know him. And imagine how he felt when he played as Jesus. He walks on somebody else. Are you one of his? No, I don't know him. And somebody else saw him. The Bible says the third time Peter comes, hell no! Lean on somebody and say, that's why I like this church. He cussed a little bit, but not a lot. Like, that's Bible cussing. I like a little Bible cussing. Just a little Bible cussing. No, I'm serious. The Bible says he cussed. Hell no, I don't know. And the crop crowed. Can you imagine how Peter felt? I didn't let my Savior down. I know I felt that way before. So the first thing I want you to write down is the defection of rejection. Some of you, some people defected from you because of their rejection. The defection of rejection. People who you thought would have your back walked away. Who was it? A parent who raised you? But then left you, who made you but did not raise you, a father who did not bother, a mother who won't cover, a wife who don't speak life, a husband who wasn't, I don't know, many people in this room, someone defected, and even at 50, you feel it. At 40, you feel it. At 30, you feel it. The defection of rejection. That's cold-blooded. Let's walk through the text. I'm expositional. Verse 36, every campus, look at your Bible. You didn't come for the show. You came for the word. Verse 36, then Jesus went up to Gethsemane. He took Peter and the crew. And here's what he said. This Jesus talking, look at me downtown. My soul is crushed with grief. Grief recovery. My soul is crushed. is this Jesus saying this? This must be Peter or David or Moses or the woman at the well or Pastor Vernon or somebody with human anthropological tendencies, right? No, this Jesus, he said, what? My soul is crushed with grief. How much so? To the point of death. He says, I feel like I'm about to die mentally. I'm going through so much, I feel like I'm about to lose my life. I'm so overwhelmed mentally. Thank you, Jesus, because if you can be tripping, I know I can. Yeah, I'm not unsaved or unspiritual because every now and then I'll be feeling some kind of way. I'm not going to ever let the devil tell me that I'm not a believer or that I'm not his because my mind playing tricks on me. I'm not going to ever again let the devil deceive me into thinking that I'm some carnal saint who does not have the Holy Spirit because I'm feeling some kind of way. If Jesus can be feeling some kind of way, I grant you permission every now and then to feel some kind of way. You cannot always help how you feel, but you control what you do. Yeah, you can go get drunk or some revenge sex or eat something and now you're getting bigger and madder at how you look because you're trying to anesthetize your pain with cupcakes. Lean on a sister and say, he's talking to you. I like my shape. I like my shape. No, lean on a sister and say, he talking to you. I like my shape. He talking to you. He ain't talking to me. I don't eat that stuff. Praise God. My soul is crushed to the point of death. How many of you remember in the book of Luke, come on, Bible readers, when Jesus said this, the Bible says Jesus starts sweating until sweat fell like what? Drops of blood. Anybody ever heard of that or read that? Literally, guess what? That's not metaphoric. That's literal. Here's a word. Hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. Don't worry about spelling it. You'll never say it again. Hematidrosis. 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 It is a rare medical condition, but it's real. It is the idea that right by your sweat glands are blood capsules. I don't know if you know this. When one is up under extreme anguish, it rarely happens, but it can, they can bust. And all of a sudden, blood will mix with your sweat. Because the blood vessels burst because of overwhelming anguish or stress, and what's supposed to be sweat will be blood and sweat mixed together. Jesus is tripping so much that he is sweating blood. Pastor, where are you taking us? Someplace you need to go, so stick with me. He said, my soul is crushed. I'm in anger. I'm grieving. This God, by the way, he's in a bad place. Hematidrosis. This is so good. So much so. Maybe this is why Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has carried our sorrows, but yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Peep this, but he was wounded. I got you to catch this. He is despised and rejected. Pastor, I feel like God's rejected me. God told me to tell you, and he feel like men are rejecting him. This is so good. He's dealing with rejection. This is so good. I got to give you verse 39. I'm going to put some psychology in my theology. He says, I got to go talk to my daddy. He went a little further than them and bowed down and said to his father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Remove this cup, look at me, from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If it's possible, look at me, every campus. All of them walking together. The 11, where Judas? He already went to reject him. Judas left to go play him already. But the other 11 are with him. He said, y'all stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right here. Would y'all pray for me? Just pray. I'm going to go a little further. This far as y'all can go. I got to go talk to my daddy about some straight up kingdom business. But y'all stay here and pray. I'll be back. He went by himself and got on his knees and prayed so profusely until sweat turned into blood. What did he pray, Pastor? Glad you asked. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Pastor, what else do you see in the text? Not only, this is so critical, everybody, do I see the defection of rejection. But what's amazing in this text, is that he can see the projection of rejection. He can project what's going to happen to him. I need y'all to see this. I'm losing the whole crowd. This is so good. I think you can handle the high task of hypostatic union. I really believe you can handsomely handle the high task of learning about hypostatic union. Ooh, I teach preachers this when I'm teaching at colleges, but you can handle this tonight because you're smart. This class can handle this morning. Hypostatic union is when divinity and humanity come together. Hypostatic union is when divinity and humanity fuse together. It only happened in one person ever in eternity. That's Jesus. In Jesus, you have all God and all man. That's called hypostatic union. Because he was all God, he said stuff like, I am the bread of life. But because he was a man, sometimes he got hungry. Because he was all God, he told the wounded woman at the well, girl, I can give you some water, you'll never thirst again. But because he was a man, when he was on the cross, he said, I think I'm thirsty. Because he was all God, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But because he was a man, he went to sleep sometime. He was all God. Pastor, make your point. The issue with being all God is that he could see the projection prophetically of his rejection. He could see how he was going to die. He could see who was going to hurt him before they hurt him. He could see Calvary's cross. He could see the passion narrative. He could see the spikes going in his hands. Stop saying nails. Nails is cute. It takes a spike to go through your wrist, through the wood, out the wood. It takes a long spike to go through one foot, the other foot, in the wood, out the wood. He could see the crowns of thorns on his head. And ultimately, he could see the rejection of the Father. And he said, Daddy! Okay. What if you knew that next Sunday you were going to die on your way to church? Lean on somebody and say, I'm not going to make it next week, Pastor. Go ahead and tell somebody and say, hell to the no. No, not next Sunday. God, no, I ain't coming here. I just have to go to hell. Whatever, I'm not coming here next Sunday, Pastor. Y'all laughing. But I'm serious when I say a survey was done. Would you like to know the day and the way in which you're going to die? And just about everybody said, no, it would drive you crazy. Now you see why he's sweating blood. He's God, but he's also man. The God part of him gotta die. The man part of him don't want to die like that. So he says to Daddy, is there any way we can get them to heaven without me catching hell? Is there any way? I know that girl done slept with some people. I know that girl done had some miscarriages. I know that brother done been through some women. I know that brother got that porn thing. I know that girl got some mistakes in her life. She been divorced. She done cheated on her husband. He don't even know. He done crept on his wife. They done some stuff. Can I get them to heaven without me catching hell? Is there any way you can get me out of this? He's praying, right? He's praying. Then he got up from praying and went over and checked on the 11. And they was all asleep. He said, hey, oh, we sorry, Mr. J. We sorry. He said, couldn't y'all just pray for me for 1 hour? Because I'm feeling rejected right now. And I need somebody who I'm connected to just pray with me. You don't have to come over here with me, but have I ever asked y'all for anything? I'm asking y'all, because right now I'm tripping a little bit in my head. I'm God, but I'm also a man. The man part of me need my dudes to pray because I'm feeling by myself right now. So I need a community of faith to connect with me in prayer. So would y'all pray? We sorry, Mr. J, we got your back. All right, I'm going to go back up here and talk to my daddy. Y'all pray, okay? He went and prayed. Let this cup, Eli. He came back. They were asleep again. He's like, hey, oh, we so sorry. It finally hit me. This is not a fairy tale, this word. Come on, stay with me cognitively, epistemically. Do it with me, because come with me deeper. What's the chances of 11 grown men falling asleep? Even in the army, there's somebody that stays watch. At least one of them would have said, look, y'all go to sleep, I'm gonna stay up. If I see him coming, I'll let y'all know. Hey, he coming. All 11? Oh, let's have church. What if I told you that they were divinely drowsy and sovereignly sleep? Now, y'all missed that because didn't nobody shout. Y'all don't know how good that was. In other words, Pastor, make your point. What if I told you that God put them to sleep? What if I told you they couldn't have stayed up if they had smoked crack? Why? Because when God wants you to do something by yourself, he'll make everybody else fall asleep. There's some things you got to do by yourself. And what the Father was saying to the Son is, if you're going to do this, they can't go with you. And some of you need to know that this next place God is taking you to, you may have to go by yourself. Even your spouse may not. God, y'all not a good one. I'm talking to five people on this side that knows that life will put you in a position where all you got is him. How do you know it, Pastor? Because I feel like I got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. But there are times when I'm talking to her and it dawns on me, she can't go. I'm talking about my best friend on this earth is Lady Victory Rose Vernon. And every now and then I'm talking to her and it hits me. I call my chief of staff and it hits me, he can't go. I'll talk with the elders and then it dawns on me, I'm going to have to make this one by myself. The girl who would give her life so I could stay alive is asleep right now. I'm up at 4, she's snoring, she can't get up right now. She can't get up. Every now and then, God moves some people. God separated you. God lets you feel the rejection to teach you that ultimately your spouse has their limitations. Your job, your money, you're going to have to lean on me. And sometimes what I want you to go through, I got to put everybody else to sleep so you can know, can't nobody. Do you like me? Is there anybody downtown? Y'all not feeling me. I got to go. I'm going to run out of time. I got to go. This is so good. They were divinely drowsy. And so sometime, write this down, not only do we see defection, and not only do we see the prophetic projection, but sometimes there's no protection from rejection. I'm preaching much better than this side is responding. That's why I got wheels. I'm going to roll out. Y'all not feeling me. Amen. That's why I got wheels on here. If you ain't feeling me, I'll just leave you. Y'all better say something. This is so good. Sometimes there's no protection from rejection. I told all the pastors across the country on a conference call as I trained them, and they all, Dad, I hired this person, man, gave her everything, trained her up in God. She gets trained up. All of a sudden, she dogged me, talked about me, left. Dad, I thought I prayed before I hired her. I said, son, sometime God deletes your discernment. Oh, this is so good. Even though you prayed and said, God, I don't want to date nobody that's not of you. I don't want to hire nobody you don't want me to hire. Give me wisdom on this choice. And you're thinking, I did babe that in prayer. I did wait, and yet I picked wrong again. What if I told you that sometime God divinely deletes your discernment? Because if you knew everybody that was going to hurt you, then wouldn't nobody hurt you? And if don't nobody hurt you, then you cannot become what God has called you to be. Put somebody in the back and say, you had to go through that. Oh, I'm preaching. So it's not because you didn't pray. It's not because you didn't wait. God's not going to let you avoid everybody that's going. What if every brother that asked you for your number had a sign on top of his head? I'm cuckoo. I'm cuckoo. I'm cuckoo. Of course you wouldn't have had a baby by him. But you didn't see the sign because God let you go through what you had to go through to learn. Every now and then you got to go through stuff to push you and draw you closer to me. And so at noon, darkness fell across the whole land unto 3 o'clock. Somebody suggested it was midnight at midday. Preach right now. It was midnight at midday. It's 12. I know it get dark in Cleveland in the wintertime like 4:15. I know that. But 12 noon, somebody suggested that the S-O-N went up. So the S-U-N had to come down because two suns can't shine at the same time. Y'all not feeling me. I'm going to start another church. I thought I had a church Two suns can't shine at the same time. When the S-O-N went up, the S-U-N came down. It got dark. It was midnight at midday. Praise R.A. Vernon. I'm trying. Can I suggest to all of you, it was midnight at midday. Darkness fell. And from noon to 3, it's pitch black. In Christ. Oh, I feel like preaching this now. Can I preach to myself since won't nobody else help me? Christ is geographically positioned on that cross. Yeah, spikes in his hand, a crown of thorns on his head, and he cried out, my God, Daddy, oh no, not you. Oh no, I can handle Pete. I knew he was going to do it when I met him. Judas, well, we know he the devil, and the 12, the 5,000 people I fed, none of them here. The girl that couldn't see, the guy that couldn't see, I fixed his eyes. He ain't here. Where Lazarus at? He was dead. I brought him back. Where the girl at whose funeral I stopped and turned it into a family reunion? She ain't even here. Where they all at? I knew it. You told me that. But you ain't tell me this part. My God. Daddy. Not. You're going to reject. No. I'm freaking out. Not you. Not you. That's what I saw when I was praying. That's why I asked you to move the cup, because I saw something different than I have ever seen. Something was in that cup. Put somebody and say, I got some stuff in my cup. Pray for me. There's some stuff in my cup. You don't know what's in my cup. The Bible says that he cried out, Eli, Eli! Interpreter, why have you abandoned, forsaken, 21st century remix, rejected? All my math majors, be careful, because you'll be able to change your major after today. Because how old is never began? How old is God if he never started? Your mind is too limited in its capacity of comprehension to fully understand how long. What do you do when you never began? Pastor, everybody began. That's because you are limited by the tick-tock of Kronos clock. That's because your baby was born and your great-grandma died. You expected it. She was 98. You knew she was going to die. Your baby was born. People are born. People die. That's because God created time for us. But he's from everlasting to everlasting. He never started. He'll never end. So how old is God? Don't start. You'll have a nervous breakdown. If you say 1 trillion, billion, trillion, 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 billion, trillion, trillion, billion, trillion, it won't be enough. Don't even trip on it. We walk by faith and not by comprehension. We walk by faith because that's too deep for anybody. Pastor, make your point. The big point is this. For eons, for eternity, they had been together. They had never been separated. Him, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, all three. They were together when God created man. That's why in Genesis, he said, let us. Who you think the us was, not the angels. He said in our own image, not the angels. He's talking to the Spirit and the Son. Let us, all three of them, never separated, never apart from each other. And for the first time in forever, the Father looked at him and said, so you gonna do this? You gonna take her mess on you? She was just with a cat last week with her supposed to be saved and single self. You gonna take his stuff on you? That cat that had more women than he can remember. There's a couple kids he didn't raise like he should have. He was young. He didn't go to the word church yet. You gonna do this? You know that ain't her first child. She didn't have some abortions. She didn't done some stuff. You know she do that porn thing. Now you know her husband don't know everything about her. You know you gonna take all that? You gonna take Hitler's? You gonna take Hitler's sins? You gonna take the African-American Holocaust, the African-American West African diaspora with 20, 30 million estimated African-Americans? You gonna put all that on you? You gonna take America's sins? You gonna take everybody's sins on you, son? Yes, Daddy. You gonna do all this so they can go to heaven? Yes. Then I can't even look at you. And he turned his back for the first time in forever. The Godhead split up for you. He turned his back. So everybody in here saying God loves me, but he'll understand what my parents did to me. Jesus told me to tell you, you a lie. He said, my daddy played me too. My daddy rejected me. My daddy wasn't there for me when I really needed him. My parent, and I only had one, turned his back on me. Psychologists suggest that if mama don't want me, don't nobody want me. If mama or daddy don't want me, don't nobody want me. That's not true, but that's our perception. If parents don't want us, that's not all of you. All of you that had two cold-blooded parents buy my house, pay their bills the rest of their life, and kiss them and call them every day. But most of us who come from context of rejection, you'd be surprised. A cake needs flour, butter, sugar, or it don't work right. Every person in the world needs mama and daddy. That's how we were designed. When either are missing or unhealthy, it impacts us a little. Be the best mama you want to be. He misses daddy. Be the best mama God ever made. He misses daddy some. A lot of single mothers, pastor, pray for him because he a trip and he bad. And I done told him, I said, I'm taking you to pastor. I said, number one, don't call him bad because some of your choices got him acting out. Yeah, I know you mean well, but you don't think he misses daddy? So don't come up to me saying, pastor, get him together. No, maybe I should get you together. Now, I'm going to check him. I'm going to teach him how to honor you, but be a grown woman and realize every now and then he misses his daddy. Y'all not feeling me. What happens when parents aren't there and you feel rejection? I tried to use the Bible, but I'm going to have to use B.B. King.
And she could be jiving too. Hey, nobody loves me but my mother. And she could be jiving too. Things you do.
Okay, so back to the Bible. Now, to real deep people that just said, no, he didn't play blues at church. Where somebody say, go on back to your mother's church then. That's why. Go on back to your mother's church and fall asleep. We gonna do some real stuff up in here. To those of you with a narrow, provincial, cognitive appropriation of ministry to a 21st century congregation, please catch this. You need to read Dr. James Cone's Spirituals and the Blues. Spirituals and the Blues. Dr. Cone, black theologian extraordinaire, had to write a paper on this in seminary. I'll never forget it because it talks about the fusing of gospel and blues. That the slaves and children of slaves use both gospel music and blues just to keep their sanity and have a sense of their humanity, their essential humanity. They needed the gospel and blues. C.O. Franklin, Pastor C.O. Franklin, Aretha's daddy, used to go hear B.B. King play on Saturday night, and then Saturday night B.B. King would come sit in his church in the 50s because it was a fusing of blues. Some of you listen to grandma just playing blues, sitting up there with her head back. She's just trying to stay alive, just trying to understand. Look what BB said. BB said, don't nobody love me but my mama, and she might be jiving too. Come here, couples. Now you understand, baby, why I act so funny when you do the things you do. That's preaching right there. But you gotta see it unless you got a narrow mind. That's blues. That's, well, shut up. Listen to me. Here's what BB is saying. BB is saying that I already don't trust people. I ain't hardly trust my mama. And now when you do anything, I don't trust you. If I ain't trust my mama and the chick before you hurt me, you think I'm putting all my trust in you? That's why when you do anything, I start acting funny. Because you ain't the first person I slept with. You ain't the first person I gave everything to. Come here, married couples. It'll help you stay married if you realize that maybe your spouse comes from a context of rejection. So the first thing you need to write down is the root. I got 2 minutes. Y'all tired of me. The root of rejection. The root. What is the root of your rejection? Where did it begin? Pastor, I don't deal with rejection. Cool in the gang. Not your sermon. I'll catch you next week. But to the thousands of you that deal with rejection, what's the root of it? Let me take my clothes off. If I get naked, maybe somebody else can get naked too. Most pastors wouldn't dare tell you their business because they want to look like superstars, like they got it all together. I'm not all of that. And there's some things I tell you. I don't tell you everything. Don't nobody want to know every bad thing about their pastor. That's too much. And trust me, I'm not perfect, but I tell you enough to help you get free. I've told you a million times, my mother and father are the greatest two people I've ever met, but they were young when they had me. I don't blame nothing on them. They were 15, 16, 17. By the time my sisters were born, they weren't but 19. I thank my daddy for fighting to try to come see me. My mama did the best she can, but we live with some of everybody. I said to my mother when I was grown, tripped her out, I said, Mama, I don't remember you ever hugging me. You know what she said, like any mama, oh boy, I hugged you. But I said, something went wrong if I don't remember it. If I don't remember you hugging me, then you didn't quite hug me enough. Now, don't worry, I pay all the bills. She never paid one again. House paid off. I got her. Honor your mother and father. I got my mother. That's my girl. I love her. But I'm simply telling you truth. And my dad, look out for him, whatever I can do. Great people, but I'm just telling you truth. Fast forward. All I ever wanted to be was a pastor. Don't let people hate on your pastor. People see your glory, they don't know your story. This ain't something I got in. I didn't know this church was going to be big. I just wanted 500 members and a car. Now I got 500 kids and children's church. Pray for me. Amen. So I practiced for one thing my whole life. One thing. Preached in the closet. Preached in the car. Read my Bible. Preached in the shower. All my friends would hear me preaching in the projects. The walls were so thin. Preach to everybody in East Tech. Why you think they all go here now? They know they boy. Didn't even want to go to the prom. My father-in-law said, go on and go to the prom. He was my pastor. I said, I don't want to go to the prom. I'm too saved. He said, it won't hurt you. Go to the prom. Wouldn't even went to the prom. Was scared they was going to call me a hypocrite. That's how much I loved them. I prepared for one thing my whole life. I get this church, give them all I got. Me and that girl doing then what we do now, hugging everybody. If grandma died in Pittsburgh, I'm 28 years old, I would drive the car they gave me down to Pittsburgh. Before the family got to the church, I would be there waiting for the funeral, trying to be the best pastor I could, driving to different states, giving them all I got. And one day I get to church and the doors are locked. We don't want you no more. And give us the car back. And took my son's car seat out. It's raining. I'm thinking my life over. I only practiced to be one thing, a pastor, and I done failed at that. Couple that with the rejection of my parents. Now here's some more rejection. Now go ahead and start this big old church and pay people more than their education or experience they deserve to get paid. Take them out of town. Try to be the best boss God ever made. Medical, salaries out the roof, trying to love people. Dog me and leave me and talk about me as they go. And I gave them everything. There's more rejection. If you're not careful, rejection, then I get married. Lady Vernon's laying there. I'm laying up under her like a woman. Not realizing I'm looking for my mother. So whenever we argue, you're going to leave me too, huh? I'm going to see my mom. Why you got to go over there? First 2-3 years of marriage. Why you got to go over your mother's house? Where you going? So you don't want me, huh? She ain't did nothing. But because I got rejection. So you need to write this down. The infection of rejection. Because if you don't deal with the root of rejection, then you'll deal with the ravages of rejection. It's on the screen, the ravages of rejection. Bishop Joy did a series, like 50 parts. You should go down to the house of the Lord and get the ravages of rejection, where he deals with everybody in the Bible that felt rejected. I'm out of time and y'all tired of me. All I'm saying is you can't deal with it until you diagnose it. So now you know why your husband, or some of you young brothers, Pastor, I be having fine women, but I cheat on them. Have you ever thought about, you be thinking, let me reject her before she reject me? I'm starting to like her, so let me do something stupid. That's some of the guys you dated, but you, do you think they had diagnosed themselves? They ain't come to a church like this and get no real word, so the brother don't know why he acts stupid. She don't know why she complained all the time and fuss and never happy. And give me some more of this. And where you going? Rejection. The guy before you took a lot out of her. And so that's why you got to be careful, because not only if you're rejected, you're fooling around and infect everybody around you with it. And the kids would be like, mama always sad. Mama, even the dog see you. Dog don't even watch TV with you. This so good. Not only is there the infection, I gotta go, I got another service, but you gotta be careful with the inflection of rejection. You will inflect the deflection of rejection. You will deflect your rejection on other people. I've been saying this all day. I don't fuss hardly ever. I don't think I complain ever. Y'all tell me if I do, but I'm gonna complain a little bit today. You'd be surprised how many members be mad at me and Lady Vernon, and they're like, Pastor, I'm mad at you. And what's your name? Y'all got to catch this. You'd be surprised how many people be more angry at me than their own father. Madder at me, leave our church because I didn't say hi once, but stay with a man that beat her 10 years. Pastor, I'm leaving the church because you hurt me. But your husband hurts you every week. You ain't left him. Oh! When people are rejected. So I'm on my way to Akron. I got 1,000 people waiting on me. I'm already late. I got to run at the door. So instead of hugging you, I waved at you. Pastor, I just felt like you dogged me. She's rejected already. If she was healthy, it wouldn't hurt her that much. Pastor, I'm stepping away from ministry because don't nobody care about me around here. That's because didn't nobody care about you when you were little. And now you're rejecting that. You're deflecting that on us. So I say one thing to you. You've been mad at me 12 years. 12, 13, 14 years over one thing because you rejected already. Well, Pastor, you can't leave us right there. Heck no. And I got another servant. Lean on somebody and say, but thank God there's a correction for rejection. Go ahead. Oh, his name, can we have church, is Jesus. Is there anybody that knows, Pastor, but my mother left me when my mother and father abandoned me. David said, the Lord will take me up. Pastor, how are you doing now? I'm better than I used to be. Ask that girl I'm married to. The more I got in God's word and grief recovery and read and prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to take stuff out of me, I don't need her like I used to. She better stay with me. You better hold on, girl. God, I wish I had. Is there anybody here? Lean on your spouse and say, I love you, but I'll live. Go ahead. Is there anybody here that know God will take rejection out of you and put the hope of good? Y'all looking at me crazy. I wish I had 50 people in this church that would go to praising God that you've been through some stuff. You should have lost your mind. Some people walked away, but you're still here. You're better than you used to be. You're healthier. Why? Because Christ, the hope of glory, has filled you up with his Holy Spirit. You took your classes. You're reading your Bible. You're coming to church, and God is changing you and rearranging you. Push somebody, say, he's making me better. Go ahead. I'm finished. I don't feel no hoop or no holler. This is too critical. Pastor, give us something more pragmatic to go home with. Sure, I will. You deal with rejection? Here's a couple of things you got to do. Number one, put it on the screens. I want you to see this because, number one, if you must commit to the spiritual disciplines of daily devotion and an ongoing commitment to Christ. Look at Pastor, the spiritual disciplines of a daily devotion. In other words, you got to get in your word every morning. cut your, here's a rule. Don't cut your phone on in no time. Don't ever cut your phone on in the morning until you spend some time with the Lord. Here's what I found out. Whatever I preached about that you struggle with, low self-esteem, anger, women, porn, nasty, single, lonely, trust me, the further you get away from God, you'll drift back into what you struggle with. You miss one Sunday, you'll miss two. Then you'll miss a month. Haven't been to Bible study some of you all year. Come on Sunday, that's all. That's not enough word. So pray every morning, read every morning. But then secondly, write this down. Get in one of our life groups. What church offers this stuff? Tell me. I'll never take you for granted, but do me a favor. Don't take me or us for granted either, and some of you do. If I ever take you for granted, forgive me, because I try to tell you I love you more than any pastor I know. I say words like love and thank you for feeding my family, because I want you to always feel loved and honored by me. But you need to return the favor and realize that your church is offering stuff most churches don't. If you got mama stuff, don't think your husband not paying for that. Do you want to be a good wife to that man? Because he's going to leave you. If he's not in Christ and you're not in Christ, one of y'all going to leave. You're going to run him away from you, and somebody else going to have him. I've been doing this a long time. Somebody else going to have her if you don't get healthy. That's called life. Healing the mother's wound, grief recovery. Brothers that watch porn, that's mad at your father, take it out on ministry people, take it out on me, just always got issues. Go to Man Cave. Go to Save People. And here's what's good. It's offered at all the campuses. And I got some members that come to the main campus that haven't been here in 5 or 6 weeks because their class is offered downtown. So they going downtown and watching the word downtown. And plus they get to see another campus for a few weeks. So whatever campus is offered at, if we run out of space, hundreds of people, about 1,000 people coming to finance class this weekend. Thousands, hundreds are getting in our class. So would you clap for your church, everybody? Come on. I gotta go. But stand on your feet. Don't walk. Don't walk. Stand on your feet. Hurry up. I'm finna pray. Don't walk. If it's not an emergency, even in the overflow, if you love God and love me, don't walk. I want you to lay your hands on yourself right now. I'm concluding this series. It's out there right now for $25. Should be $100. Do the math. $25. You can get everything I preached on. I'm feeling some kind of way. The line was crazy last night. Go out there right now. We're not ghetto. It's already ready for you. They're going to stick today's message in there, and the rest of them are done. The cover is done. Let your sons watch it. Let your wife watch it. Your depressed husband, your depressed children, your wife, anybody with low self-esteem, get it now. Lay your hands on yourself. Let's conclude this series with the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Lay your hands on yourself and say, I pray right now. I said, say it loud, I pray right now that I'm delivered from negative emotions, low self-esteem, be gone, anxiety, depression, anger, filth, be gone now. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill me up with the fruits of the Spirit. Love. I said, put your hands on yourself. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Fill me up right now. I'm better now. I'm better now. I'm better now. I'm filled with the Spirit. Negative past, be gone now. Say it loud. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that something's changing in my life.
Familia Wireless Depot reminds us 22 veterans are taking their own lives every day. The worst part of war shouldn't be coming home. So if you know a veteran suffering from depression, be there for a veteran. Let them know there's hope, there's help, and they can heal. That's from Familia Wireless Depot, with 3 locations to serve you better. From Monroe, West Monroe to Shreveport, they have the best deals in 2020. Phone 318-398-2187 for hours and location. That's Familia Wireless Depot saying, please be there for a veteran. Familia Wireless Depot is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT, KQJO, FM.
K-A-Y-T. K-Q-J-O-F-M.
Your number one music station.
These are the hits.
Woo! Mama, you ready?
Yeah.
How about you, Daddy?
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. He delivered my soul from the cost of slavery, y'all. Oh, 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 yeah. Sing mama for me. Paul and Silas did nothing wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Locked him up in chains. They prayed all night long. And the midnight hour, God showed himself strong. Let me tell you what he did.
Our guest today on the Prayer Power Live Talk Show. We hope your comment, opinion, express, enhance, enlighten, and deepen your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. As God's servants, we should daily seek a personal and loving relationship with Him through prayer and His reading of His Word. Even though our opinions and views are different, our united mission should be to lead others to Christ so that we all may live in eternal peace with our Lord. The views and opinions expressed on the Prayer Power Live Talk Show are not those of KAYT 88.1. To contact Reverend Carmouche for featured topics or suggestions or